We will begin on Daf Chaf Dalet Amar Aleph on the top line with the word Epoch. In our previous year, we had discussed if one could use an animal as the wall of a sukkah. And the Gemara had said that that question was actually a machlokes of Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda. Ramey said one may not because we were concerned that the animal may die, may run away. And Rabbi Yehuda was not concerned. But then the Gemara asked a question where we see that Abaya, who given this explanation in the Machlokes between Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda, holds just the opposite in other places in Shas. The places in Shas where we find that he holds the opposite are by somebody who left and he's a Kohen, and his wife continue eating truma. Somebody gave a get to his wife that should be effective an hour before he passes away. May his wife continue eating truma. Rabbi Yehuda was the one that was concerned that he may pass away and therefore she has to stop already. And Rameyer was not concerned. And then, at the end of our previous year, we had a similar case where somebody needs to take off truma semaisris because he bought wine from Kutim. And it's Friday afternoon, Ben Ashmashus, when one may not do the regular type of afrosha of Trumas and Maestris. And Ramey said he could do it by verbally designating the Truma and the Maestris, and then doing the actual separation after Shabbos. And Rabbi Yehuda was not satisfied with that approach, because he was concerned that maybe over Shabbos the barrel of wine will break, and then we will end up not being able to rely on this type of a system. Again, we see here that Rameya is not concerned for these types of situations occurring, and Rabbi Yehuda is. So how do we, the Gemara asked, able to reconcile all of these opinions? Says the Gemara, Epoch, what we need to do in Masechet Gittin is reverse the opinions. And say Rameya Chai Shlemishta, Ramey is the man that says they were concerned that death may happen, and therefore this woman that we just described may not eat truma. Yehuda loy chayish b'misa, and Rabbi Yehuda is not the one that's concerned. And since he's not concerned, she could keep on eating truma. We could assume that he's still alive. The Tanya, and why do we have to do this? Because we learned the brisa as we just began regarding Hilchas Sukkah, the Osla Behemot. If somebody made a wall out of his animal for a sukkah, Ramey says that it's not a good sukkah because he's concerned that the animal may die. Rabbi Yehuda Machshon. But ask the Gemara, so now that we've established, based on our Gemara, by using an animal as the wall of a sukkah, based on the way the Gemara is now identifying opinions regarding Hilchas Gittin, that Ramey is the man d'omer that's chayish, that Ramey is the man d'omer that's concerned that something may happen. So why did we, by the case of the wine that we just mentioned, why is Ramey not concerned that the barrel of wine may break? Ask the Gemara, kasha d'Ramey ad'Ramey. How do we reconcile the opinion? How do we reconcile the opinion of Ramey? Now, the Sefer Beisharim asks a question. The Gemara is saying that an animal may die. But since an animal may die, that's why Ramey says you can't use the animal for a wall of the sukkah. And the Gemara is saying, so why is he not concerned that the barrel of the wine will break? And the question is, they're very, very different. The animal dying, animal will eventually die. A barrel doesn't have to necessarily break. So what's the comparison? So the answer is that the animal may indeed die. But even though the animal will eventually die, but still, even though the animal will eventually die, that's only where something that's going to happen eventually in a while. Here we're talking about the animal being used just for the short while for sukkahs, and that's what the Gemara is saying. If Ramey is not concerned that the basket's going to break, the barrel's going to break, he ought not to be concerned that the animal's going to die either. Amlach Ramey, to which Ramey says, Misa Shchicha, death is still more common than breaking of the barrel. Because efshe the muscle ay l'shomer, you could always give over the barrel to a shomer who will watch that it should not break. So a shomer could protect your barrel. A shomer can protect your animal from death. If the time for death comes, nothing can prevent it from dying. Says the Gemara. But now kasha Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. In ours, in Sechta Sukkah, Rabbi Yehuda allows the animal to be used as the wall of the sukkah, and Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned that the animal may die. Yet over there, by the barrel of wine, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that the animal will die. Answers the Gemara. The basis of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is not because he's worried that the barrel will break. Indeed, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is we're not worried about such eventualities. Ella, because of a different reason altogether. The whole basis of this system that we described at the end of the previous year was based on Breira, on retroactive designation. And Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to the concept of Breira. Ask the Gemara, but for breaking of a barrel, that's not Rabbi Yehuda's concern. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Is that in fact the case? Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned that the barrel will break. We learned the sefer of that braisa. Amleil Rab Meir, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, who disagree with Rab Meir and say that this system of taking truma semaisis is unacceptable, say to Rab Meir, are you not concerned that the barrel may break? And then it'll turn out that actively this person drank wine that was tevel. Amalhu, and Ramey responded, I worry about it when it happens. Then, in other words, Ramey Rashi Masecht Erevin explains, Ramey says, one pshat Rashi suggests is that since, as we just learned, you could prevent or you could watch the barrel from breaking by giving it to a shomer. So since it could be given to a shomer, that's why I'm not concerned. Another pshat that I saw, the Rama explains, that breaking of a barrel is not that common. And therefore, breaking of the barrel is not common. That's why I don't have to worry about it. Whereas death is more common, and that's why I am worried about it. Another pshat that the Rabbeinu Chananel suggests is an entirely different approach. He says that according to Rameyer, this approach of taking the Trumas and Maestras in this fashion is 100% acceptable. And if you drink that wine under the assumption that Motzoi Shabbos will be able to take off the Trumas and Maestras properly, you have not done anything wrong. If afterwards on Matzah Shabbos the barrel has been broken, that doesn't retroactively mean that you ate tevel. So, and Ramey, as we just said, I'm not worried. If it'll break, we'll have a problem. Mechlal, isn't it clear from this dialogue between Rabbi Yehuda and Meir, the Chayish Rabbi Yehuda l'b'kiyas noid, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned for the breaking of the barrel. And that's exactly what he's saying to Meir. So the Gemara's question is, why are we saying that Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned for these types of eventualities? Answers the Gemara, the way to understand that dialogue is entirely different. Has Rabbi Yehuda the Kamalei Meir? Rabbi Yehuda is addressing Meir. And he says, the reason I don't agree with this entire approach because I don't agree with the concept of Breira, and therefore relying on this type of approach wouldn't work. El Lidach, you obviously subscribe to Breira, but even if you subscribe to Breira, doesn't Iyat Maida, still shouldn't you be concerned Shemi Baka Noid, and therefore that should be the reason that this system should not work? And to which Ramey responds, Amalei L'chishi Baka, I'm not worried about it, and when it happens, and until it happened, it doesn't happen. So Taisus says, how can we say that Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about the breaking of the barrel when clearly he discusses it? So he says that many times, that even though it says that that's the reason behind Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Taisus says, Many times in Shas we find that the Gemara may attribute an opinion to a Tana, to an Amira, but that doesn't mean that that's the main reasoning behind his opinion. And this would be such an example. That even though Rabbi Yehuda is saying that he's concerned for the breaking of the barrel, that is really not what's behind Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. What's behind Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that he's addressing Rav Meir. But his opinion is based on Ein Breira. The Loi Chayish, ask the Gemara persists. The Loi Chayish, Rabbi Yehuda Lemisa, Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about death may happening. For Tanan, the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Yuma taught us, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Isha Acheres Maskina Loi, the halacha is that the Torah says, Shema Thomas Ishta, the Torah says that the Kohen Gadol has to bring a carbon, and the carbon is brought the chippa ba'adoi u'ba'ad beisoi, to bring a kapar for him and his family. And the Gemara Masechta Yuma explains, ba'ad beisoi means ba'ad ishtoi. And therefore he has to have a wife. So since he has to have a wife, so the halacha is that he should have, so he's baruch she married. But as we learned in that Mishnah, they prepare a backup wife, that in case chas v'sholem, his wife passes away, he'll have a second wife. We had a long discussion that they had a second wife, how that works, but we see that he's worried that something may happen to the first wife. So what are we saying? That Yehuda is not concerned for that. Answers the Gemara, Hayet Malo, Amar Rav Huna B'Reid Rav Yeshua, Malo Asa B'Kaparah. Normally, he's not concerned, but here, because it's talking about Kaparah, that's why that they're more concerned. And there's a machloikas achroinim. What does this mean, malo asa b'kapara? Some achroinim explain that if the Kohen Gadol won't have a wife, then the kapara that this carbon is supposed to affect won't happen. And therefore, it's absolutely necessary that he has to have a wife, and we prepare a backup wife, even though normally Rabbi Yehuda is not chayish shlomisa. That's the opinion of the Or Sameach. The Gvura Sari disagrees. And the Gvura Sari says that it's not that if he doesn't have a wife, the avoid of Yom Kippur is not effective. Of course it will be effective. But the proper way of doing the avoider is with the Kohen Gadol having a wife. And since that's the proper way of having the avoider done, we want him to have a wife and we prepare a wife, even though normally Rabbi Yehuda is not Chayish Shlomisa. So earlier in our previous year we had learned Rameyah says that kol davar sheyesh beruach chayim, anything that has air in it, ein oisun oisel adoifin l'sukkah, it may not be made adoifin for a sukkah, v'loi lech ilamavi, v'loi pasin l'barayos, v'loi gol l'kever. And in the previous year, as we just said, we had the machloikas Abaye and Rav Zeira. What is the basis for Rameyah's opinion? Is it because he's concerned that the animal may die? Or is his concern that the Shema Tivrach, that the animal may run away? Ask the Gemara. Bein Laman da Omer, both according to the opinion that Ramei's concern is Shema Tamas. Or Bein Laman da Omer Shema Tivrach, or according to the opinion that the concern is that the animal may run away. The Medir Chitza turns out Medirayisa Mechitza Malyihi. Even Ramei agrees that Medirayisa is a full-fledged good wall. It's Rabbanon who the Gozerbu. It's the Rabbanon who were ones that said that it should not be used. Elamei Ata Rameyer, according to Rameyer, that's really considered midarais, a good wall, titma mishim goyla, if it was used as a cover of a kever, it should be midarais, considered a full-fledged cover. And since it's considered a full-fledged cover, why midarais is it not tamei? The Rabbanon could be machmer. The Rabbanon cannot be mekel. So if this is considered a mechitza midaraisa, how could the Rabbanon, because of their concern of Shema Tivrach and Shema Thomas, say that it isn't? Alama Tanan, yet we learned in Masechta Erevin, on Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda Metamei, Mishim Goyel, Rabbi Yehuda says that indeed some, an animal that's used to cover a kever will have the tumah, and Rameyah Metar, how could Rameyah take such a position? Elam Rav Achba Yaakov, we have to go back to understanding Rameyah's opinion. Ksavar Rameyah. Rameyah's opinion is, kol mechitza shemedes beruach eina metzuya, since that this stands with a ruach eina metzuya, that bases it's on air, that prevents it from being a halacha de gewol. In other words, we're no longer concerned of Shema Yomus. We're no longer concerned Shema Yivrach. The halacha is that you have to have, to be a kosher sukkah, you have to have a mechitza. And this is not, this doesn't make it into a kosher mechitza. Anything that is alive is not considered a halachically valid mechitza. Ikadamri, but a different way of understanding Ramey's opinion, is Ramey's opinion says, Omer Vach by Yaakov, Kesav Ramey, Kom Mechitza, Shein Esui B'dei Adam, any mechitza that's not man-made, any mechitza is not considered a valid mechitza. That doesn't mean that the mechitza had to be put up by people. If the mechitza is there, even though it wasn't put up by people, it's going to be a valid mechitza. What it means is that the material from which the mechitza is made has to be a man-made material. Because otherwise, if it's not that type of a material, Tosfos explains, it's not considered significant enough that it should be considered a mechitza. Ask the Gemara. So we had two new versions from Rav Acha ben Yaakov in explaining the opinion of Rameya, why the wall of a sukkah that's made from a living animal won't be valid. Either because it's a medes beruach, it depends on it having air in it, or because it's not man-made. Ask the Ramah Binai, what's the practical nafkamina between these two pshatim? Says the Gemara, Ike benayu, the ukve benoy tafuach, that if it was, that you used a bag full of air. The mandam mechitza medes beruach ena mechitza. According to mandam, that depends on ear, that it's not considered valid in a mechitza. So this is standing from ear. Harei a medes beruach, and therefore won't be a valid wall of a sukkah. The mandam that the problem is ena sui b'dei adam, it has to be man made. Harei sui b'dei adam, this is man made. So we learned in our previous shiur, the Gemara quoted a brisa that Amar Mar Mishum Reb Yose Aglili Amru. One cannot write a get. When somebody's divorcing his wife, he cannot write the get on an animal. Ask the Gemara, my time, Rabbi Yosef Glili, what is the reasoning behind Rabbi Yosef Glili's opinion? The Tanya, the Braisa, in describing the halacha of a get, the Torah says, the castle of Sefer Krisis, the Nosim Biyoda. Only Ella Sefer. We would only know that a get is considered a valid get if it's written on a cloth. Menayin l'rabbis kol dover, if it's written on any other type of material, how do we know that it's not considered a valid get? Tama loimer, the cost of law, the kamakim. It could be written on any type of material. Enke ma tama loimer sefer. Why does the Torah use the word sefer? Loimelach ma sefer dovish em beruachayim. Obviously, a piece of paper, a book, is not a living thing. Veino oichel doesn't eat. Av kol dover, the only thing that may be you, the only material on which you may write a get is dover shein beruachayim vein oichel, an animal that's alive and eats is not considered a valid way of divorcing a wife. And actually, the Aruch Haner says that the same din would be, we know that the first Mishnah, Masechta Gedushin, says the ish miskadeshes b'shloish drachim, there's three ways how to marry a woman, b'kesa, b'shtar, u'b'biyah, and shtar is one of the ways you could marry a woman. And we know also that the Torah says v'yotzev ha'hoysa. We learn hilchas kitten and hilchas kedushin for one from the other. So says Dar Chaner, if we're learning now that the shtar that with which a husband divorces his wife, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, may not be written on an animal, so too would be the halacha that if somebody's marrying his wife with a shtar, it can't be a shtar that's written on an animal. So this is the basis for Rabbi Yossi Haglili's opinion why you can't write a get on an animal. The Rabbanan, who disagree with Rabbi Yossi, what do they would do with that pasuk? Say the Rabbanan, ikos b'sefer, if the Torah wrote just the word b'sefer, k'rikamrit. That would be obviously the correct way of understanding that pasuk. But the Rabbanan say to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, look at the wording of the pasuk. Hashtag sefer krisis. What it means to say is l'sipur dvarim ba'almudasi, that the pasuk should come to teach us that the get should have in it all the relevant cogent points that are involved in getting divorced That all has to be part of the get. Rabbanan asked the Gemara, "Hai v'kosaf, my darshibay. What are they going to do with the word v'kosaf to teach us haumi boile b'ksiva miskareshus v'enem agreshus b'kosaf?" To teach us that the way a husband could divorce his wife is by giving her a get, but not by giving her money. Because as we just learned, Salkatat Chamina, Hoyal Vishkas Yitzir Lavaya, since we learn Vyotsava Hoysa, and that teaches us that Hilchas Gittin and Hilchas Kedushin travel together, and we know Mahavaya, the way you could do a Kedushin is Bekesef, Af Yitzir, we think should be done Bekesef, Kamash Malan. Now there's a very big machloikis, if the halacha would be that you could divorce with kesef, who would be the one that would have to give the kesef? The Sfas Emes explains, that this way he says Rashi learns, that the woman would have to give the kesef to the husband to become no longer his wife. Similar to what he says, that if somebody is an eved to a owner, and he wants to free himself, he has to give his owner money, and if he gives his owner money, he buys his freedom. Here too, she would buy her freedom. But there are other achrayim that disagree. And they say that we're learning, the Gemara and the Havamina at least wanted to say, that a woman could get divorced with kesef. Why would a woman be able to get divorced by kesef? Because we learned those halachas from Kedushin. When a man is Mekadosh and Isha, it's the man who gives the kesef to the woman. So we're going to learn Hilchos Gittin from Hilchos Kedushin, they say, the same would be here as well. It would be the husband who would have to give the wife the money, and that's how they would get divorced. Ask the Gemara. So that's what he needs, the word, the Rabbanan need the word the kesef. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Aglila, Hai Svar Manole. How do we know, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglila, that a divorce cannot be affected with money? And says the Gemara, Sefer Krisis Nafkalei, to teach us, Sefer Karsa, Vein Dava Acha Karsa. Only the get is the way to terminate the marriage, not anything else. Vidach, and the other man, Dama, what will he do with this Parsik? Humi Boilei, for a different purpose. Dava Karis Beino Lebeino. That the get has to be, separate the husband and wife completely. Kritanya, as the Bryson D teaches us, Hareza Gita Chamanash Lotish the Yayin. If somebody gives his wife a get and attaches to it a condition that she may never drink wine, Amanash Lotish the Base of Vich Loilam, you may never enter your parents' home, ain't that krisis. It's not considered a valid krisis because she's still attached to him. But if the get says that Kol Shloshim Yoyim, you may not drink wine for 30 days, then Hareza Krisis, because it isn't something that keeps them attached forever. It has an end, 30 days. Vidach, will Rabbi Yossi Aglili learn that a get has to completely sever any relationship between the husband and the wife? Says the Gemara, he learns it. The Torah could have just used the word karis, and the Torah uses the word krisus. So nafka, that there has to be a total separation between the husband and the wife. Now, what about the Rabbanan? Says the Gemara, idach karis krisus loy darshi. They say that the fact that the Torah used the word krisus rather than using the word karis doesn't mean anything to be learned from here. So our Gemara just said that if somebody divorced his wife and attached to it a condition, amanash loytech lebeis avich loylam, so since that's something that is going to keep them connected for the rest of her life, that's why it's not a good get. So Taisus asks, why is that considered that Taisus the Remask of Manas? Why is it considered that they're connected forever? The husband could sell, the father could sell his home, or the father could die, or father will die, and there won't be Beis Avich anymore. So Taisus says, when it says Beis Avich, it means even after the father dies, if it remains to the family of a father, and that's why it's considered Beis Avich, even after he's no longer died. And he brings a raya. We find that Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Yehuda, was the daughter of Shem ben Noach. And it says, Shvi Amana Beis Avich. At that point, when Yehuda said that to Tamar, shame was no longer alive. And still, it's called Avich. So even after the father's not here, it could still be called Beis Avich. Many Rishonim disagree with Tosfos. They say that the house can no longer be considered Beis Av after the father's not alive. And therefore, the Ritva says, we have to look exactly at what terminology the husband used. If he said, Shleitech LeBeis Avich, so indeed, if the father died and he's no longer alive and he's therefore not in the house, or he sold the house, she would be allowed to go there. But if the husband used the words Shleitech LeBeis Zesh LeAvicha, so he didn't connect it to the father owning the house. He didn't connect it to the father being alive or dead. He put it on the house. Since he connected it to the house, it makes no difference if the father is alive or dead. She may never enter that house. That means she's connected to him forever. And since she's connected to him forever, the halacha is that the get is not a valid get. Another interesting question. The Gemara did, however, say that let's say he made such a Tanai, but he only said that the Tanai is for 30 days, so the halacha is that then the get's a valid get. But the question is, if the get is a valid get, we know that normally after a woman and after a husband and a wife get divorced, the wife may get remarried immediately. What would be the halacha in this case? May she get remarried immediately, or does she have to wait till the 30 days are over? Says the Mishnah, Oisus Sukkosu Ben Alonis, if somebody builds a sukkah between the trees, the lanus, the fanus loy, and the wheels and the trees are the walls of the sukkah, but you didn't put, as we discussed in previous shur, we didn't put the schach on top of those trees. You had poles on which you put the schach. The halacha is that it's a kosher sukkah. Amar Vachav Yaakov, says the Gemara, but if you have a mechitza that can't stand well in a ruach metzuya, in a regular wind, and a mechitza halachically is not considered valid mechitza. What the Gemara according to Rashi is teaching us is that if the mechitza blows the wind, blows the wall back and forth, then the mechitza is not considered a valid mechitza. And the Magen Avraham explains that the reason it's not considered a valid mechitza, a concept that we've mentioned previously, is that since it can't, that there are halachas, the Torah gives us halachal mashma Sinai, as we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, what is the halachic definition of a mechitza? And if it's a mechitza that blows back and forth, halachically, it's not considered a valid mechitza if it can't stand through a wind. And therefore, the Magen Avraham says that the sukkah walls must be steady and secured against swaying in the wind, even in a case where there is no wind. Let's say you'll have walls of a sukkah in an enclosed yard, and then the walls of the sukkah are against the walls around the yard. So they prevent the wind from going, the walls from going back and forth. But according to the Magen Avraham, it still will not be a valid sukkah, because as we just explained, the problem is these are not halachically kosher walls. The Chazon Ish says that if the walls can withstand the wind, even though normally they may not be able to, it would be a kosher sukkah. He says the Al Gemara is speaking about a case where a wall was made up of several segments which separate in the wind. And therefore, since these segments separate in the wind, you're not going to have a proper wall. But if the wall blows back and forth, according to the Chazon Ish, as long as it doesn't blow very significantly, they would be kosher walls. However, many poskim are machmer, and therefore, particularly those who make a sukkah out of fabric such as canvas, they have to secure the walls so that they can't sway in a normal wind. I saw that the Paiskim discuss what is meant that it doesn't sway in a normal wind. And the Paiskim say that if it doesn't sway three tefachim, a normal wind won't cause it to fly, to move more than three tefachim, then it's a then it's fine. But if it could cause it to wind, blow more than three tefachim, especially based on what we learned from the opinion of the Magen Avraham, such material should not be used for sukkah. Ask the Gemara on Rav Acha. We just learned, says the Gemara Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, if somebody builds a sukkah between the trees, and the trees are the walls of the sukkah, ksheira. But ask the Gemara, let's look at the words of the tree, the walls of a tree. Ha-ka'azo, don't they blow back and forth? Answers the Gemara, ha-ka'azo, b'dikashin. We're talking about thick, wide trees that have a very solid trunk, and therefore that prevents the trees from blowing back and forth in the wind. But ask the Gemara, the ikonoifa, that there is the branches sway back and forth in the wind. Answers the Gemara, davalei behutzer dafna, where we tie them together, and since we tie them together, they don't blow in the wind. Ask the Gemara, if we're talking about a tree that is so firm that it's a firm tree and its branches are tied down, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Yochem Ma'ala Memra, why did the Mishnah have to tell us that such a tree is a kosher tree? That's kosher for a wall of a sukkah. Answers the Gemara, Ma'ad Taima, Nigzadim Ma'asal Ashtamusha Be'ilam. As we learned previously, on Shabbos and Yontif, one may not lean on a tree, climb up a tree, because as the Gemara Masech Debeya teaches us that one may come to break off a branch from the tree, which of course is Asur. Therefore, we would think that even if the tree is a very firm tree, as we are describing, it still may not be allowed to be used as the wall of a sukkah. Kamash Mulan, that Chazal did not make such a gzera. Ask the Gemara, Toshma. We discussed in a previous shir, Pasi Baros. As we said, the people who would be Oyle Regal to Yerushalayim for Yom Tovim, they didn't have cars, they didn't have trucks. They went up by foot with their animals. And the animals needed to drink water as they're traveling. And they had boiros, they had pits of water from which the animals would be able to give the animals to drink. The issue, however, is that those boiros are a rishus yachid, and the area around the boiros are a rishus rabbim. So the question is, when they're traveling on Shabbos to get to Yerushalayim, and they need to give their animals to drink, how will they get the water out of the pit to the rishus rabbim where the animal is standing? To go build a full-fledged enclosure to make it a real rishus yachid, obviously, is difficult, time-consuming, and not really a great option. So the Gemara Masechta Erevin taught us that what could be done is make pasi baros. Take four L-shaped wood around the area that you're trying to enclose. They have to be in each direction an amma, and that's called pasi baros. And through that way, one can be able to take, that makes that entire enclosed area into a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and since it makes that area that's enclosed into Rosh Hashanah Yachid, we could feed the animals that way. Tashma, so says the Gemara in describing how we could construct Pasi Baros, Hayasham, if around this bear, around this water, there was an ilan, a tree, that's so thick that it's an am in each direction, and as we learned earlier, and Rashi quotes this, the tree doesn't have to be an L-shaped tree. Trees are usually round, not L-shaped. But if you would hollow out the tree, you would be left with an L-shape that's an amma by an amma, a gedder, or there's a fence, a mechitzas sakanim, or you have a fence made out of pieces of wood. All of them can be considered nidim b'shem d'yomid. They all can be considered valid d'yomid to create the pasi baros. So what do we see? That a tree could be used for pasi baros, even though it blows back and forth in the wind. Now, ask the Gemara, didn't Rav Acha bar Yaakov say that anything that blows back and forth cannot be considered a valid wall? Answers the Gemara, Hasam Nami Mishum Davalei Behutz V'Dafna. We're referring to a situation where it was firm and it doesn't blow back and forth. Tashma. So the Gemara begins with a different situation. We know that on Shabbos, every person, as Shabbos begins, has a Mokum Shvisa. That's where he is for Shabbos, and has very, very significant ramifications for Hilchus Tchum, that you can walk 2,000 Amos. Of course, if you're in a city, as we've discussed many times, the entire city is considered like 4 Amos. But if you're outdoors and you're in a place, the question is, what's considered a place where you could be Koine Shvisa? Because as the Gemara Masechet Ervin, Daf Nun Aleph Amar Aleph teaches us, the Pasuk says, Shvu Esh Tachtov, Al Yetze Ish Mekoimai, to teach us that you get the place where you are and 2,000 Amos around it. But the Gemara there says that if you Koine Shvisa in a place that's encircled by wall, that entire area is considered like Arba Amos, that entire enclosed area. And now you get 2,000 Amos past that area. So now the Gemara over there, the Braisa there, discusses what is considered an enclosed area. Ilan HaMesech Al Arts, if you have a very large tree that overhangs over the earth, Im Ein Neufe Gevayim Al Arts Shlosh Tfachim, if it doesn't raise up, if it's not raised up more than 3 tfachim, betatlon tachtav, the entire area under it is considered like dalet amos. Because since it's less than 3 tfachim from the ground, we say the concept of lovet. And means that the branches of that tree are considered the walls of the area under the tree, and therefore that is considered an enclosure where you are on Shabbos, you have that entire enclosure. But ask the Gemara, if Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that something that moves back and forth is not considered a valid enclosure, amai, haka'az of asi, the tree blows back and forth. Answers the Gemara, again, hasav nami, davalei behatzav v'dufna, he tied them down, and since he tied it down in a very significant manner, that's why it's not considered a problem. Ihachi, ask the Gemara, if that's the halacha, the tata bakula, he should be able to carry under that entire area. If the tree branches, we're saying now, because they're tied down, are considered full-fledged mechitzas, they should be considered like a rishus hayachid. And yet we learned, alama, amar Rav Huna, b'reid Rav Yeshua, a matatlamba, we could only carry beis hasayim. Why? If it's less than a beis hasayim. Because as the Gemara Masechet Shabbos teaches us, that if an area which is not meant for living is larger than a base of Sayim, then it's a Karmelis. Answers the Gemara, Mishum Davadir Shetashmen Shel Avir. Even though it's considered, says the Gemara, properly enclosed, it's not a place where people live. And since it's not a place where people live on a regular basis, Kol Dir Shetashmish Shel Avir, if it's a place that's not meant for permanent living, it's just where you go for fresh air, unless it's less than the size of a base of sayim, it becomes a karmelis, and in the karmelis, we're not allowed to carry more than dalet amos. Where does the number base of sayim come from? Because that was the size of the chotzer of the Mishkan. And a karmelis, as we learned many times in Masechet Shabbos, does not have the halachic status of Rishus HaYachid, nor does it have the halachic status of Rishus HaRabim. It's somewhere in between. And this area, since it's not meant for regular dwelling, and if it's going to be bigger than a Beis Hasayim, you're not going to be able to, you don't live there, and therefore, even though it has the proper walls, it doesn't prevent it, or it still will be considered a karmelis. And since it's still going to be considered a karmelis, the halacha is you can't use you can't carry in such an area more than dalet amos. Tashma. So Gemara asks another question. The Braisa says, Shavas, if somebody was kind of shvisa betel, shugavaya, on a mound that's 10 tefachim tall, v'arba amos v'beis hasayim, and it's dimensions are between 4 amos to a base of sayim, became benekesh shomakasara, or in a valley in a crevice that's 10 tefachim deep, vuma 4 amos a base of sayim, or kain kamet tzura, there were straw cut there, shibaylis mekivus. So you have a field that was surrounded by straw, by grain, Mahalchas Kula, that entire area is considered like a Dalar Amos, it's considered an enclosed area, and then you can walk outside of it, Alpayim Amma. But again, when we have grain or straw encircling an area, these are not firm objects. And Rav Achba Yaakov said if it's not firm, it's not considered a valid mechitza. And here we see that a mechitza hasui me'ileha, shma mechitza. The Meiri says these are not mechitzas that were made deliberately to be a valid mechitza, yet we see that it's considered a valid mechitza, even though it's flimsy and it go back and forth. Answers the Gemara, like we've said so many times, Hasam Nami Davalei Behutzav Adafna. We were talking about that it was tied down very firmly, and since it was tied down very firmly, that makes it into a mechitza, even according to Rav Acha B'Yakov. Interesting Shaila that I saw that the Har Tzvi discusses. If in Shas Chuvas Har Tzvi or Chaim Chelik Aleph Sim Pei Vav, could a person be considered a mechitza? In other words, if you'll have a group of people standing together and you put schach on top of those people, can they be considered a mechitza and somebody could eat inside that enclosure? He seems to take a lenient approach and holds that it is considered a valid sukkah.